Lee Carsley has been named, although I'm not sure.
He's not coming now, is he?
Well, that's the thing. Or Big Sam is the other one.
It's always Big Sam, isn't it?
OTB AM live weekday mornings from 7:30 on the OTB Sports app.
Right now, we're delighted to be joined by EBS ambassadors, Olympians and Ireland's history-making siblings, Aidan and Michaela Walsh, following the launch of the 2021 Federation of Irish Sport Volunteers and Sport Awards, which is supported by EBS. The awards will see EBS and the Federation of Irish Sport hero the work of volunteers from around the country who go above and beyond every day to ensure that sport and physical activity take place in Ireland. EBS is calling on the Irish public to nominate a volunteer in your sport who you'd like to see recognised at the 2021 Volunteers in Sports Awards. You can nominate an everyday hero to be given the chance of winning a grand for your local sports club. Just visit volunteersinsport.ie. Nominations can be made by a club, an individual or a sporting body, and they're open from September the 7th to October the 17th, so they're open today. Michaela and Aidan, good morning to you. How are you doing?
Good morning, all good. Thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, pretty good. Michaela, can I start with you? Your dad, as far as I'm aware, is the volunteer in your family who helped kick you guys into boxing. How did that all come about?
It was really when Aidan started boxing. My dad used to be a boxer himself, and obviously bringing Aidan down to the gym, and I followed along. He wanted to get involved, so he's been with us from the start, and he'll be with us until the end, so he will.
And that's interesting, because were there many other women or girls, obviously, at that stage boxing in the gym at that point, or would you have been one of the first?
I think I would have been one of the first. When I started, women's boxing wasn't really that big, so it was often hard for me to get sparring and get pads and that there, because you're sort of seen as different in a way. But luckily now, I think women's boxing and male boxing, it's not separate, it's one. It's just boxing at the end of the day. We're all seen as a one sport now, which is phenomenal.
And Aidan, if your dad was a boxer, was it always inevitable that you were going to be a boxer too?
Well, he never pushed it on us. He brought us to the gym and just to try it out, me and a few friends. And out of the few friends, I was the one that stuck at it. I think Michaela being there played a huge role in that, because she was a few years older than me and she was really into it. So I just wanted to sort of follow suit there and always try and progress as she was doing. So I think obviously for my dad to get me into it, my dad being my coach and then obviously Michaela being my training partner, I think it was a good gel for us to... I think that's why we've all stuck it this far, because we had each other and supported each other the whole way through it.
There's a lot of siblings, Aidan, who when they see their brother or sister doing one thing, they want to do the opposite. Why was Michaela such a positive influence on you?
Just she was the hardest trainer in the whole gym out of all the boys at the time, and she was the only girl in the gym, and she was out training all the boys. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. At a young age, not realising, but I wanted them to be the hardest trainer. And so it was always a healthy competitiveness to always train hard and push each other. And we've done that there. And even from our gyms at local level, right to the highest level of being on the Irish Olympic team, training together and pushing each other, it's been an incredible journey.
Michaela, what's your earliest sense of actually being good at boxing and that your brother was good at boxing as well? Like, when did you start making Ireland teams or winning titles and thinking, actually, you know what, this is cool?
I remember when I think I was around 15, I was selected to go to the first ever European Junior Championships, and I came back with a silver medal. And sort of the end, I was like, I must be good if I'm winning medals at this stage. And I always say Aidan was always better than me. Growing up, I think that's why I try to train as hard as I could to sort of make up for not maybe having that talent so early on. And but the hard work stuck with me, and I kept working as hard as I could at the time to get better, to get on Aidan's level. But he was always a step ahead of me, so I always try to push myself to try and be as good as him. I'm still trying to be young.
So Aidan, what age are you when Michaela's coming back at 15 with a European silver medal?
I would have been saying maybe 11, 12.
Right.
So I probably was only starting to fight then, because I joined the gym when I was 9. So, and you aren't able to fight competitively until 11. So then for years, I was just having loads of gym boots, and my dad was taking me all around the country having gym boots. And I was lucky enough, when Michaela was going to the likes of Dublin to train, my dad would have took me. So I was always sort of in the mix. And before I even went to the National Stadium for my first All-Irelands, I'd already seen it all and I'd already been there. So for me, it helped me massively that Michaela was that few years older and I'd experienced it all. and even going to international tournaments as I got older, I sort of experienced the sort of atmosphere of what it'd be like coming back with a medal, what it would feel like, what way it would affect our family and things like that. And it was all positive. So I think that gave me the buzz for it as I got older, and it paid off for me.
Obviously, those trips down to Dublin were pretty important then, Aidan. I mean, was there local role models as well in Belfast that you looked to outside of your own sister, obviously, that you thought, right, that's who I want to be, or they have paved the pathway almost for someone like me to step up to the mark?
Of course. Like when I was younger, like 2012, it was when Michael Cannon and Paddy Barnes came back to Belfast with the bronze medals. And I actually seen a video the other day, and I'm in the background of there was an open top bus in Belfast, and you see me in the background. I'm only a kid, and it's like, what? Because I was always familiar with training with Mick and Paddy in the Holy Family Boxing Club. They would have been there training, and to watch them, and we were always in sparring the legs of Mick and Paddy, and always competing in the gym with them. So it was great. So, and then now they actually be in the situation that they were, coming back from the Olympic Games with the bronze medal. I have to pinch myself sometimes, because I'm still to this day looking out as a young kid of someone winning an Olympic bronze medal, and for me to contemplate that's me now, it's very hard to believe, because for years and years you're always that kid, and I still am, and I just want to learn and grow as a boxer. So it's amazing, and to have the support obviously of my sister and my father, and it's great.
How much does that help when you're in the high performance unit then, the idea that winning medals isn't an overachievement for Ireland? In fact, it's actually the norm and the expectation when you're going to an Olympic Games.
I think that helps spur you on, because, you know, like obviously Belfast is a great boxing city, as is Ireland, is a great fighting country. So I think you have to believe in yourself and believe that people's done this and more, so you can do it yourself. And especially when you're training alongside guys and girls who have done this before, it gives you great self-confidence in yourself and knowing that you've got what it takes. And especially if you're training with them and you're keeping up with them and you're competing. And it's the same now. If it was younger, maybe kids coming and training with us, I would love to do what other people have done with me, help me, give me advice in the gym, different wee bits of advice. Like when I first went on to the high performance, all the older athletes were great with me, giving me advice and always answered the questions that I asked, that what was good advice, what was bad advice. And I would love to be in a situation now, if anyone came to me that I had advice that I thought was done me well, that I could help them. And so it's great that way.
Michaela, we obviously know that this is a shorter Olympic cycle to Paris next time around than the previous one.
Yeah.
Does that make a difference just in terms of the thinking? I know, like, 3 years is still a very long time. The whole world will be a different place in 3 years' time in loads of different ways that we don't even contemplate right now. But at the same time, from a sports cycle, it comes quite quick. There's major tournaments, there's qualifying events, and you can pretty quickly map out life between now and then. Have you even begun to think like that yet yourself?
I have, yes, because obviously Paris for me is the main goal. Obviously after before Tokyo was over with, I didn't know really what I was going to do. Obviously in Tokyo I wanted to go and win a gold medal, but it wasn't to be. But just having that taste of the Olympics, just and seeing Ian win a bronze and see Kelly win the gold, it spurs me on. And obviously there's a lot of tournaments from now to then, so it's good. It gives you something to aim for. Like next year I've got the Commonwealth Games and I've World Championships, European Championships, so it's good to sort of to keep me busy until then. And I'm excited for Paris. I can't wait for 3 years.
What's the value of the experience of going to Tokyo and experiencing what the competition is like at that absolute super elite level? How do you change as a fighter? How do you change your preparation? How do you change your mental preparation? What's the knock-on impact?
Well, just like even being in the Olympics, you're among the best athletes in the world. You're walking around the village and you're seeing Olympic champions, world champions, European champions from all over the world, and you're a part of that elite group. You know, it was a surreal experience, and just watching the guys perform, not only the ones that won medals, but the rest of my teammates and all the other sports. It's just an invaluable experience. I've obviously been to a lot of tournaments before, but the Olympics is just different from the rest. It's the elite of the elite. And I think you can't buy that experience. So just being there and soaking it up, I was trying to learn as much as possible, even being out of the tournament. Just obviously, I wanted to gain as much experience ahead of Paris. You know, there's wee tips and tricks going in next time. I'll know what to do. So I just have that in the bag for next time.
And what about you, Aidan? What are your medium term plans?
Of course, my goal is the Commonwealth Games next year. Obviously, there's World Championships this year also, and then Olympic Games in 2024. So it's great, Aidan, obviously, to be at my first Olympics and the medal. It was something that obviously you always believe in yourself. But then when it happens, you say, like, I realize, and it goes back to being a kid, like seeing other people do it, and then you realize yourself you can do it. And I think that's a very powerful thing when you realize that you're capable of doing something. So I just want to enjoy what I've done. It was a lifelong dream to get to the Olympic Games, and we've done that together. And then obviously the medal between us, that's what I say, like, we share this medal because we both were on this journey together. So I'm just enjoying it at the minute, and I'm just looking forward to the future. I think the way the last sort of 12 months have went with training ways, I think if we can keep doing that every 12 months and just keep on that same schedule, I think we can't go too far wrong.
How is the ankle, Aidan?
It's healed up. I've done absolutely everything that I could to get it back in the shape it was in, and I actually think it's better now than what it was, because the much exercise I've been doing, the physio I've been doing everything asked of me. And at this level, you have to do everything asked of you. Yeah, with the right people in place, with the right team in place to give me the right advice. So it's been great, and I'm just making sure that I'm ticking all the boxes with it, and I have, and thank God it's back better than ever.
In every conversation that you've had with anybody that we've seen publicly since the Olympics, you've been very positive. It's been a kind of non-stop positive story. Is there any little part of you that wonders, or there must be a big part of you that wonders what would have happened if you'd been fit to fight the next fight? Is there any part of you that's like, oh my God, if I could just go back and not do what I did?
Oh, of course. Like, obviously, with the injury, I'm going to say to myself, what if? But it goes for everything too. Like, I could have said, what if I didn't qualify for the Olympics? What would I have been doing sitting here? So I don't know. It's just one, like, my lifelong dream was to go to the Olympic Games. I went to the Olympic Games with my sister, and then I medaled at the Olympic Games. So it was just, the medal's a bonus. I always remember someone saying that to me years ago. Getting the Olympics is the hardest thing. Getting the medal is a bonus. So I'm just lucky. I couldn't ask for much more. All I can do is ask myself, is the next Olympics that I go to, try to go one step or two step further and get a different colour medal. And that's what I'm aiming for. Not only myself, Michaela, and the rest of the team. As long as we can keep progressing, I think that we've got the right team, the right coaches to do that. So it's brilliant. And what if is a big question about everything in life. So, but I'm just grateful to be sitting here, obviously, with the Olympic bronze medal.
You mentioned Paddy Barnes and Michael Conlon. They both ended up going pro. Is that part of your future at all, Aidan? Have you thought about that?
Oh, well, obviously, seeing how well I've done the Olympics, in the first Olympic Games, I sort of obviously want more of it. So I believe that I'm good enough to qualify for the next Olympic Games. Fingers crossed, all going well. So, but right now I'm in the moment. I'm an Olympic bronze medalist, and I keep referring back to that because it's hard to believe. I have to keep telling myself that. But I definitely believe that there's another Olympics in me, and I think that I've only been on the Irish team 2-3 years, and then obviously COVID being in between that. So I think definitely there's a lot more to come of me, hopefully, and a lot more learning to do, obviously, for myself and Michaela as well.
And Michaela, have you any interest in turning pro, or have you thought about it?
I have thought about it. You know, there's a few people that would like to see me in the Aidan pro, but like I said, my sights are set on the Olympic Games. It was something that I've always dreamed of doing, and I want to go a step further in Paris and get that medal.
Well, listen, we wish you the very best of luck. And I know we're all talking about Paris, but you should absolutely enjoy this little bit of aftermath of the Olympic Games, because, as you know, it happens so rarely. So congratulations on really a brilliant 12 months, really, that you put together to get to the point you're at the moment. And thanks a million for joining us today. Cheers.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
It's Michaela and Aidan Walsh there. And as we said, volunteersinsport.ie is the website that they're helping to launch today to make sure that if you are somebody who knows a volunteer who deserves to be heroed, then Irish Sport Volunteers and Sport Awards, supported by EBS, the 2021 Federation of Irish Sport Awards, will take place. And nominations are open between the September 7th today to October 17th, 2021.